Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
How many of you are offended by the upside down tree? Put your hand up so we can shame you publicly. I haven't heard a single complaint. Some people say who's offended. I said, like, nobody's offended. It's like, it's a tree. But it's interesting. I was talking to Tilo, and he was saying in Germany, they do this. It's the trees, and they do it with a big, fresh spruce tree in the church. So it, like, smells good over Christmas. And then as the needles fall, what you're left with is the cross. And so I thought, wow, that's great. Total fire hazard, but great. It'd be a lot of fun. Yeah, I think that would be great. But then I was doing a little more research, courtesy ChatGPT, and one of the things they would teach is that it was also used as an illustration to teach that, you know, when we're Christians, our roots are in heaven, and all life is sustained by God. Good grief. What's wrong with me? Turning into a woman. Everything's tears and crying, and I can't imagine if I started as an emotional person. All right. What is Advent? The purpose of Advent is to be a season where we patiently reflect on the arrival of Jesus and what his life and purpose means for us as followers of Jesus. We're in this period where theologians have referred to as we're in this period of waiting between arrivals. Jesus has come once, and he's coming again, but we're waiting in this in-between time. And what do we do while we're waiting? What do we do in this in-between time, or this time in between arrivals? And it's, you know, we've looked at joy and hope and peace, and this is the final Sunday of Advent, which is love. And we're teaching in Advent, we're taught that this waiting is not a passive waiting. It's a waiting, it's a workshop where God reshapes us into people of love while we live between Christ's first coming and his return. And Jesus, he came to model for us the love of God. He came to be the example that we follow. But he also came to show us how to be formed into people of God's love. You know, I've been reflecting on this a lot over the last few years, but I realized the more I see the love of God in Jesus, the more I realize I'm not like him. That there is, we need to be formed into this kind of love. This is a lifetime journey. Love is the final reflection of the Advent season because love is the single most defining trait of God and is the motivation behind all that he does. And the point of Christianity is not moral self-improvement, but becoming loving people like Christ. We Jen read it, right? John 3:16. My mind was already here, so I didn't hear. But John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Love was the primary motivation. And you know, for hundreds of years, the priests in Israel had offered sacrifices that the people had brought, and then the priests would offer those sacrifices on their behalf. But Jesus turned that upside down. Not by offering up the sacrifices that were brought to him, but by becoming the sacrifice and offering up himself on behalf of the people. And the ultimate purpose of the church and our following Jesus is to reflect on and imitate this example. His example, the example of Jesus, was not of a reigning king, but a suffering servant. His example to us was not to get all of the credit and all of the glory, but was actually to pour himself out as an offering for all. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Christ's self-offering is not, it's not just something we're to admire. It's a pattern we're meant to live by and live into through service and sacrifice. And this is what Advent love is. That Christ did not merely come to save us from something, but he came to form us into something. We oftentimes, in the church world, we oftentimes conclude a service with a prayer to be forgiven of our sins. And it's really, this is the prayer to be forgiven of our sins. And being forgiven of our sins is a very important thing. But the purpose was not actually for us to be forgiven of our sins. The purpose was so that we could become like the image of God. And sin was a problem that had to be dealt with in order for us to be able to properly reflect our Heavenly Father. So Jesus did not come. Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And he gave us this example as an example we could follow. And this is what Advent love is. Advent love looks like service. It looks like sacrifice. So loving service, it's the sacrifice that forms us into the image of God. And today we're going to look at a few things, and then I'm going to do something different. I'm going to end with a story. Story time with Mike. Service, what we do and what it does to us. And there's different kinds of service we can do. Sacrifice. How do we serve? We sacrifice and serve. The first way is by bearing burdens others cannot carry alone. We sacrifice and serve by bearing burdens others cannot carry alone. Galatians 6:2, it tells us, carry one another's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? It's the law of love. It's love one another. And part of Jesus' work as this high priest involves drawing near and interceding, not remaining distant. And to stay present with those suffering or carrying burdens, it's a priestly act. It's a reflection of what Jesus did for us. What does this look like? This might just mean with simply sitting with someone who's grieving, not fixing, not explaining. That's a tough one for me. I want to fix everything. You know, people come to me for advice. I'll give you advice. I'll fix everything in your world. Tell me your problem, I'll fix it. But, you know, I get nervous around situations where it's like I see pain and it's like I don't know how to fix that. And so my natural inclination is if I don't know how to fix it, I don't want to be near it. Because sometimes when you sit with others in their grief, it actually reminds us of our own inadequacies. It reminds us of that which we're not. And we're not God. So there's situations where we can't bring solution. But it's an act of intercession to sit with someone in their pain. It reflects the intercession of our Savior. Bearing burdens others cannot carry. Sometimes this looks like taking a meal to someone. Sometimes this looks like feeding the hungry or volunteering at a place like Hope Mission, where you're just helping bear a burden others can't carry by themselves. It might mean helping a family with meals or maybe with childcare during a particularly tough time in their walk. It might just mean simply driving somebody to a very difficult appointment or meeting and being present with them. One of the early church fathers, John Chrysostom, one of my favorites when it comes to what he taught. He taught that mercy towards the suffering is an imitation of Christ's priestly compassion. Christ bore our weakness And we share that burden in love when we do it with others. Christ bore our weakness to transform it into something different. The second way we sacrifice and serve is by giving where it costs us something. We sacrifice and serve by giving where it costs us something. Ephesians 5:2 says Christ loved us and he gave himself up for us. There's a cost with that. You know, there's lots of things that I love, but I don't love them enough to actually pay a price to help. You know, there's goodwill, but that goodwill has a limit. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like, oh, somebody should help in that situation. Well, it's going to cost money. Yeah, somebody should help in that situation. You know, love, sacrifice, and service is when we pay the cost that somebody else can't pay. And what does serving, or what does sacrifice and serving by giving where it costs us something, what does that look like? Well, it might look like money, but it also might just look like showing up to serve when you're tired. Or you're busy. I have other things to do. It's volunteering consistently, or not just when convenient. Sometimes it just looks like an interruption in your day by someone around you, and you stay kind. You stay kind and you stay willing. Time or resources freely given, it's a modern form of sacrificial offering. Sacrifice, it also means sacrifice and service without recognition or reward. Sacrifice, what does the Advent love of Jesus look like? Sacrifice and service without recognition or reward. And I think, you know, especially in today's social media age, where it seems everything gets posted. Everything gets broadcast to the world. You know, and you know, taking a selfie down at Hope Mission, just down here helping out, it's just like, really? Like, that's what we're doing? If you posted a picture of yourself, I am sorry that I just used that as an illustration. I am not on Facebook, so if you did it, I didn't see it, and I'm not picking you out. But I know... You know, there's some... Well, let me just read the scripture and get on with my notes. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have... Do you want to read it with me? No reward with your Father in heaven. That's pretty straight talk right there. If you're doing it to be recognized by others, you're losing your reward. So whenever you give to the poor, don't sound a trumpet before you go or post on Instagram, as the hypocrites do in their synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's a powerful portion of Scripture. And it's powerful because it really addresses motivation. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you serving? Is this a genuine expression of the love of God for people? Or is this just like a veiled cry for attention that you're trying to use to get the affirmation or the recognition of people? And God, the one thing, Jesus is a master at getting to motives. He's a master at it. And I personally believe there's something about serving when no one can see or recognize your effort that creates character in a person. Where you intentionally arrange for yourself situations where nobody's going to know I did this. And in cases, it's like not even my family or those close to me are going to know I did this. I'm just going to do something. No one's going to know. I'm not going to get thanked. No one's going to know my name. And someone's going to be served. And I believe there's something character forming at a fundamental level that happens. I personally believe that the need for recognition or public acknowledgement is a soul-eating disease. The need to be, well, you need to compliment me on my effort. You need to affirm me. You need to, you know, I need to be appreciated. That becomes a sickness where pretty soon what we do becomes for the approval of other people. And then what happens is we start to adjust our character around that which gets us approval rather than that which pleases God. In the letters, the Screwtape letters by C.S. Lewis, Screwtape, which is a demon, advising another demon, Wormwood, he says, if you can't get the Christians to stop going to church and serving God, try to distract them with the need for approval in their spiritual acts. Just C.S. Lewis is a brilliant theologian, but he does it all in these stories that just slap you in the face as you read them. But when you serve in secret, it purifies your motives. Nobody can manipulate that service. God sees it, and he rewards it. But nobody else can control it. And it never becomes about others, but it's all about others. It's not for human approval. It remains a pure offering. It remains an act of worship. It's funny because this morning I was reading from the book I read last week, Every Moment Holy. And it happened to be on serving. And so I'm going to read you just a line out of there. It says, this is such a great statement. In serving, I am freed from my need of the praise of others. For I know that you received and remembered each act of service and have reckoned it as an act of love rendered unto you. God sees. What does that look like? Well, that might just look like shoveling a driveway. And nobody knows you did it. It might look like mowing someone's lawn. It might look like cleaning and preparing and organizing behind the scenes for maybe a ministry or a part of the church where nobody's going to know you were involved, or a very, very small number of people will know you're involved. It may mean helping someone who will never thank you. We're serving people where you can't benefit socially from it. You know, one of the things we have coming up in this winter, there's a youth alpha course starting at, I'm going to get the Ohopo, Opo, the Opo school, and one of the teenagers is going to be leading an alpha group, and they need meals. And I think, is it 22 meals that they need in total? 20 meals that are needed in total. And, you know, some of you are thinking, you know, I don't know how to reach the teens of Leduc. Well, I'll tell you what, you got a kitchen with ingredients. And if you take those ingredients and you make a meal, and I'll tell you, You'll get a thank you, but most of the teens will never know who provided the meal. Most of them will have no idea where that meal came from. It's a form of service in secret. And that's the love offered in secret. It mirrors Christ's self-emptying love. Christ's sacrifice was offered to God, not for applause, but to rescue. And we have that same ability. And so if that alpha meal is something you want to help with, there is a link in the notes, or there's a magical box on the screen that you can pull out your phone and magically get a link to sign up. All right. Another way we show Advent love is sacrifice and serve by loving consistently and not just emotionally. Loving consistently and not just emotionally. John 3:13, verse 1, it says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus' love was faithful and it was consistent. The love of Jesus is covenantal, not reactive. It's not based in emotion, but based in covenant. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, he makes the argument that feelings follow actions, not the other way around. He says, don't waste your time asking whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you do. And so a lot of times we're waiting to feel to do something, but just do what should be done. Feelings will follow or not. Nowhere does the Bible says you'll be rewarded if you feel really good for what you did after. You're rewarded for doing good. What does this look like? Loving consistently and not just emotionally. It kind of looks like the last one. Showing up again and again. It's choosing patience when feelings fade. It means remaining faithful in relationships and commitments. And I personally think in our modern society, we can give emotions dangerous influence over our lives. Emotions are not truth. And I know that I get informed from family members from time to time, you're a little bit stoic. And they don't use that word, unemotional, I think, or overly committed to logic. And I say, thank you, because logic will get you places that emotions will never show you. But there is a danger to living our lives controlled by emotion. And even if you're stoic, you get emotional. And if we allow our emotions to dictate our commitments get inconsistent. If we're on, we're off, we're on, we're off. Love is consistent. It's covenantal and consistent. And I would argue that sometimes the most character-building things are the ones that we do when we don't feel like it. It's the commitments that we make that, I'll do it because I do it all the time. I'll use an illustration about exercise. But when it comes to, there's three of us that meet at 6:30 every morning during the week. And lo and behold, almost never do we all come in going, I am just ready to work out. Usually, Jer's the worst. He comes in, it's just, I'm not feeling it today, guys. Here's the thing about exercise. It doesn't matter if you feel it or not. If you show up and do the work, you get the benefit. Just everybody say that. If I show up and I do the work, I get the benefit. Feelings mean squat. That's really true. Feelings mean squat in many things. Now, feelings are important, but a lot of feelings come after the commitment. A lot of feelings come after you've paid the price. And I would love to say that serving and sacrifice are always exciting and there's always this beautiful emotion that accompanies, and it's just like Mary Poppins, the songbirds sing around you the whole time. That's not Mary Poppins. Is that Mary Poppins? There's another one too. Really funny one. Snow White. No, there's a newer one. Enchanted. Yeah, that's hilarious. That's such a hilarious show. Oh, and then the birds show up. I can't see. Have you figured that out yet? This teaches us that love is not just when it's fun and exciting. Love is when it's hard and it's challenging. And I believe that this type of commitment forms a vital part. Can I get a Kleenex? That would be really helpful to me and everybody who's listening to me sniffle constantly on the stage. Thank you. I'm not even crying. It's just winter. John Mark Comer, in his book Practicing the Way, he makes a statement. In a culture that equates authenticity with spontaneous emotions, habit is a tough sell. But show me a person's habits and I will show you what they are truly most passionate about, most dedicated to and most willing to suffer for and most in love with. I will show you who they will become. And that's really true. The commitments that we make and the habits that we carry out, they determine who we become. They determine what kind of people we become. All right, let me finish with a story of Advent love on Highway 2. It's December 24th, just 3 days from now, 8 p.m. It's minus 25. This might be a prophetic story, by the way. If you've looked at the forecast, this is a very real possibility. It's December 24th, 8 p.m. It's minus 25, and it is a full winter storm. Not the pretty Hallmark movie kind of winter storm with, what do you call it, Disney snow? Or Hollywood? What is it? Movie snow. Yeah, not that kind. The kind where the snow's going sideways, your eyelashes freeze together, and you briefly wonder again this year if living in Alberta might be a mistake. Everyone is headed to their Christmas gatherings, except on the shoulder of Highway 2, a minivan is half buried in a snowdrift, hazards flashing, and inside a stressed parent, kids in the back asking questions no one has answers for, and a fuel gauge warning light that just came on. No one's planned for this, nobody feels spiritual, and no one is thinking about Advent love. And then through the blowing snow, the tow truck rolls in, lights flashing. The driver steps out in a heavy jacket, his toque is pulled down, and his gloves smell like diesel. And he looks like somebody who's done this a few times today, because he has. This tow truck driver, we will never know his name. He was hoping for a calm evening to have Christmas Eve with his family, but the weather had different plans. He's been working since 5 a.m. and should have gone home 4 hours ago, but the calls have not stopped, and there is no one else to go out. So he keeps going. He hooks up to the minivan and he pulls him out of the ditch. He cracks a quick joke about Alberta winters building character, and he reassures the family and gets them safely on their way. And then he disappears back into the storm, not to finally go home to his family, but to get to the next call waiting. No applause, no public appreciation of his sacrifice, just a family who got home because he showed up. You can do it, Mike. You can do it. He doesn't ask who caused the problem. He doesn't give a lecture on the value of winter tires. He doesn't respond with saying, "I'll get there when I'm finished my dinner." He doesn't wait till it's convenient for him or quit because nobody has appreciated his overtime. He absorbs the inconvenience so others don't have to. He bears a burden someone cannot carry alone. He works in the cold and in the dark, unseen and unknown, and he'll do it again tomorrow. This is not emotional love. It's formed love. It's the kind of love that Jesus came to shape in us. It's the kind of love that Jesus modeled to us. Jesus didn't stand at a distance and just offer advice. He stepped into the storm, he took on the weight, and he carried us home. And that's why waiting in Advent isn't passive waiting. It's active. It's learning to love. It's learning to peace. It's learning to joy. And it's learning to hope. It's formative love. It trains us to become the kind of people who become like Jesus. We show up when it's inconvenient. We serve without recognition. or without the need for recognition. We love consistency. We love consistently, not just when we're emotionally moved. And we stay present when it's cold and it's dark. Because self-preservation is not the Christian virtue. Self-giving is. Just to even to say that this is why something as ordinary as making a meal for the Alpha group at the high school is important. When you take the time to chop the vegetables and cook the meat and deliver the crock pot, but nobody knows you did it. When you set up a table and nobody claps for you, it might not feel dramatic. It might not feel spiritual. You might not be emotional. You might feel small and insignificant. You might think, my part doesn't matter that much. But to the student who shows up, maybe they're hungry physically, but probably more they're hungry spiritually. That meal says, you're welcome here. Someone thought of you. You're safe here. And that is what Advent love is. It shows up. It works in secret. You know, most of us are waiting for love to feel exciting. But Advent love looks less like a Christmas tree surrounded by presents, and it looks more like a minivan stuck in the ditch when you have places you would rather be. Real love wears a toque, and their hands smell like diesel. Let's stand up. You know, as we finish this last Sunday, I think, or this last Sunday of 2025, but also this last Sunday of Advent, I think, you know, the real challenge is to us is, will I allow God to form me into this type of person? And will I make the commitments? Will I make the sacrifice and the service to become the person that reflects this kind of love? This kind of love is an easy love. It's easy to love when everyone around you just appreciates and loves. But the sacrifice that no one else sees, that's the kind of love. That's the kind of love that transforms a society. The fact that in the early church, that's the kind of love that did transform a society. And much of what we enjoy in our society today is because of that kind of love modeled them. Let's close our eyes. Father, we just come to you and say, we want to be the type of people that show that type of love. That have that kind of love to give. That you would form us into people as we reflect on the kind of love that Jesus showed on our behalf, that we would model and imitate that love and show it to those around us. Would you help us to not be controlled or dictated to by just our emotion? That where emotion can motivate us to good deeds, that we would allow it to, but also where emotion would just take us out of good deeds, that we would make commitments stronger than those emotions. Father, we pray you transform our hearts, transform our lives to reflect you. Let's just pray that together, Jesus. I give you permission to transform my heart. Would you lead me and speak to me about how to be more like you and empower me with your Holy Spirit to reflect you and to live out my life as you would live it out in my place. I give you permission to change my life. Change my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.